Well, first of all, I want to start by confessing to everyone that I could never have done this sermon or put together this service without the help, both in writing and compiling and in organizing and in directing, from Nicole Duff. I want to focus on two levels about this whole thing about hospitality. Both the practical, by offering some guidelines to follow that'll make you more welcoming to visitors, make our church appear more welcoming, be more welcoming, and also philosophical, how to kind of break through psychologically, existentially, this Seattle freeze, which I've experienced. And I've decided it's a heart problem. I'll get to it in a minute. Now, both the church's budget goals, the budget goals and my developmental ministry goals both talk about the need for recruiting new members if we want to keep this church, which has been so meaningful in so many of our lives, going for another 70 years. This is not just a financial calculation. This is also about sharing our message, sharing our good news, being kind of mission-centered and a little evangelical. I know that word kind of gets scares some you use, but we come out of the Protestant tradition. It was always evangelical, not revivalist, so necessarily. And Unitarians were never that way, never hyper-emotional, but outward-looking and wanting to help others come to understand the why and where of how we worship. And this was even truer, actually, among the Universalists. Since the late 19th century, however, Unitarians and Universalists, and now UUs, have steadfastly refused to proselytize, which basically means aggressively trying to convert others to your viewpoint. Now, resisting the urge to proselytize is a good thing. But being so cool that you never testify about all that this church means to you, this is hiding your lights under bushels. We have to be more welcoming than that. And most of all, we have to pay attention to everyone who's in our midst, especially people whose names we don't know.
Welcome. Are you new here?
No, I've been coming for about a year.
A better approach might have been...
Hi, I don't think I've had the pleasure of meeting you. My name is Grace.
This has the added benefit of not embarrassing you when you find out that they've been a member since the 60s. Another way we put people off is by prejudging what they are doing here, often by virtue of their clothing or accent.
Oh, may I help you? Are you here to deliver something?
Especially, incidentally, just to make it very clear, these are what we're not supposed to do. Sometimes it's easier to see the faux pas than learn automatically the right behavior. But especially if a person is introverted, it takes an incredible amount of energy and courage to risk visiting a church where they are unknown. And this is especially true if you're going through a crisis at the time, which is often true when people start coming to a church out of a sense of need. The last thing you want is to be singled out or made to feel more alone.
Welcome. You're a young adult. That's great. We don't have a lot of people like you around here anymore.
I guess it was considered quasi-appropriate back in the 50s, but nowadays, commenting on anyone's physical appearance is recognized as intrusive and rude.
Oh, welcome. Oh, I see that you're expecting. What's the due date? We have such a great religious education program here.
That's great to know, but I'm not pregnant.
Lonnie Collins Pratt, the author of today's reading that Amy read moments ago, asks us to remember, Being welcoming is not a talent that we acquire, it's an attitude we cultivate. It's a spiritual attitude, essentially. And practicing being welcome is a spiritual practice. Now, this jives with a lot of what's been happening in our right relations circles, facilitated first by Pam Orbach and now more recently by others, ESUC members, whom she has trained. What jives, what syncs up, is the notion that one thing we're involved in here at ESUC, and it's close to the heart of our mission and our raison d'etre, reason to be, as it says in our third UU principle, encouragement to spiritual growth. That's kind of why we're here. And this is a main principal task, learning how to reach out to others because we genuinely care about them, want to meet them, and to invite them to make us even better as a congregation by virtue of their interest and their participation and their imagination and energy. But first, you have to get to try to know them. Not whom they look like or who we think they are, but who, in fact, they are as honest to God human beings with thoughts and dreams of their own. Somewhere in Carl Jung's voluminous published work, he states that all relationships begin as projection. We meet somebody and we think, well, they're pretty good looking, and you know, you get to know them a little better and they wink back at you, well, it's a regular Aphrodite. Or Adonis, and it can become suddenly they're the prettiest, most beautiful, intelligent, you know, they hang the moon and all that. That's projection. It's people fall in love, but it's kind of crazy. And once the hormones get involved, we see Adonis and Aphrodite everywhere at first. When somewhere down the line, our beloved is revealed as all too human, well, many relationships do not survive. And that's because some relationships, a lot of relationships, never progress beyond the projection stage. We project our ideas, our internalized personal mythology onto others, and maybe it works, kind of for a while, but usually not for long. People change. And projections they're willing to accept once often become burdensome later on. In any case, Carl Jung goes on, sometimes one's interactions with others does progress beyond projection and into relationship. You actually begin to see one another as equally unique, valued human beings, as those opening words said. We see their complex natures and beautiful faces. In the workaday world, we're not taught how to get beyond projection. Indeed, modern politics and marketing are pretty much built on it. People are subtly and not so subtly taught to otherize those who are not quite like them. Housing and many workplace practices exacerbate these tendencies, tendencies within us that are essentially the internalization of white supremacy culture. And when we project these warded off aspects of ourselves onto others, it can make us come off, at the very least, as awkward and silly looking, such as when a person of color walks up.
Welcome, what brings you here?
Well, thanks. I found you online when I was looking for a place that fit my passion about stopping global warming.
That's great. Well, since you're a person of color, I should introduce you to some of our Black members. You'll love them. You'll get along great. We have a great Black Lives Matter group. You know, I don't see any here right now, but you know, you're gonna love them. You'll get along. They're great people. Welcome. We are so glad you're here. Our music director is gay.
I'm not gay.
Oh, welcome. I see by your Save the Orcas buttons that you're a conservation
guess that leaves my significant other and me out.
When we put visitors first and reach out to them, we are asking them to tell us something about themselves. What are their interests? What are they looking for? They also want to know what gets the members here excited about this place. You're allowed to share that. What do people love about East Shore? Let them know. Now, after years of parish ministry, I've come to the conclusion that some Unitarian Universalists, not all by any means, or even a sizable minority, but some of us like whining and complaining, and sometimes even bickering. Maybe you've noticed that, I don't know. Now you know who you are. Here's my suggestion. Pair off during the week and bicker at each other for a while. But try to avoid greeting newcomers with news about everything over the last several years that you have found upsetting and not good.
Oh, I really enjoyed the service today.
Oh, that's good, but you know, the guy preaching right now, he's just a developmental minister, and we used to have a preacher who was so much better at everything.
Welcome, I'm Grace, nice to meet you.
Well, it's nice to meet you too.
So where are you on the controversial issue of the moment that we're currently fighting over? I can tell you all about the controversy and which side you need to be on.
Really?
If any of you have never had the occasion to visit a mega church, I encourage you to try it sometime. The theology, admittedly, is off-putting for almost all liberals, but the systematic effort to reach out and connect with every visitor is downright impressive. My colleague, Dan Hotchkiss, took up his first call in Boca Raton, Florida in 1980. He and his wife had a few weeks upon arrival before Dan had to start preaching while they were putting their house together. And they decided to go check out the Reverend D. James Kennedy of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale. They've got a big evangelical radio and TV ministry. And he said, well, let's case it up. The service was rowdier, he reports, than either one of them expected, but the folks were all very friendly. Dan's wife was pregnant at the time. And within 3 days, she had received both written and telephone invitations to join a newly forming first-time parents group. For political reasons, they did not sign up. But they were strongly tempted to. The members at Coral Ridge Ministries met them, paid attention to their stated and unstated needs, and offered appropriate programs to meet those needs and initiate friendship. We can do the same if we all agree to make the first order of business every Sunday outreach to visitors and guests. Let us agree not to schedule any meetings until at least 1/2 hour after worship is over. Our guests are here, curious and eager to find out who we are. Let us make every effort to meet them openly and caringly and with welcome. At one of the community circles last fall, a participant from Vancouver, BC, her name is Lonnie Smith, spoke of how wonderful she has felt in certain communities where she's experienced what she called the warm window of welcome opened on her behalf. And it was that comment that made Nicole and I look for that image on the cover of the bulletin, the open warm window of welcome. When we focus on church business instead of outreach, we all too often carelessly slam that window shut.
Hey, Grace, this is Nicole. She's visiting us today.
Nice to meet you, Nicole. Amy, are you going to that ESJCC meeting to discuss ECAM and BRJ? It starts in 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, and we also need to talk about how PBG requires our charters to be continually updated.
Wow, so
what's that
about?
Oh, No, it's a planning meeting. You don't seem to know any of our weird UU acronyms, so you wouldn't be of value. Once more, we're running late. We gotta go. Let's
Bye.
Go, Amy. Bye.
These skits are overdrawn. But it brings me to an important point. Over the years, I've observed that many of our strongest members joined when their children were in Sunday school and ended up staying long after the kids had moved on. Something kept them involved, but initially, it was religious education that lured them in. Their kids had fun here and felt welcome, and it spilled over to the parents. And the next thing you know, the whole family is part of our community for three or more decades. But that will never happen if the initial interactions between members and visiting families are not friendly and cordial. This is critical. From 1988 to 1991, I served a Unitarian Universalist Society of Martha's Vineyard off the coast of Cape Cod. Now, their Sunday school was moribund, I have to say. And despite assurances that everyone would join to make it thrive, it soon became clear to me that children really were not welcome there. As soon as it became professionally acceptable, I left the vineyard for a church on the village green in the central Massachusetts town of Berlin. And there, in Berlin, were several babies. Their mothers would hold them while sitting in the rear of the sanctuary, and sometimes, as babies are wont to do, they would fuss a little bit and might even cry. That happens here, too. It happens in every church I have ever served, except Martha's Vineyard. And here's the thing. Crying babies are music to my ears. It is the sound of every church with a future. No children means no future. It's that simple. And also, please don't come up to me and request that I get involved preventing children from eagerly angling for their favorite cookies during coffee hour. They're kids. This is what kids do. It's in their DNA. The only thing we really don't want is kids not wanting to be here, because then in no time, their parents won't want to be here either. We welcome families of many configurations, of all kinds of ways of being, with parents of every type. And we offer a lot more than only Sunday services. Among East Shore's favorite attributes is our connection to the CBEC Conference Center over in Hood Canal, where weekend and summer programs attract UUs and others from across the Northwest. But if we don't share our resources with those trying to get connected with us, we come off as clicky snobs.
Hey, Grace, are you going to CBEC this year?
Of course, the whole family is going.
Oh, what's CBEC?
Oh! It's this great all-church retreat. I've been going for years, and I'm so happy that you're going, Grace. I want to make sure that all my friends were going so I have people to hang out with.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Can I sign up?
Oh, it's full. You'll have to wait until next year. So, Dennis, what workshops are you planning to go to?
Maybe as much as we all love East Shore and are proud of being part of it, it always behooves us to be modest about its virtues or risk coming off as arrogant.
Oh, so you're just the area. That's great. What are you looking?
Oh, I work at Microsoft.
Oh, that's great. You have quite a few people who work there as well. You know, this is a very intelligent congregation. Everyone here has at least a master's degree.
Oh, I know. I'll fit in because I have a master's in computer engineering.
Yeah.
Finally, keep in mind that while you may be doing pretty well economically, vibrant churches have members from various walks of life and social locations. Indeed, that's what we are looking for, more diversity. Well, it makes us, it gives us immunity to the vicissitudes of cultural change. Also, always try to be sensitive about the cost associated with various church activities. Some of the things we invite people to do, you know, are a little pricey. And remember, especially among younger folks, not everyone around here is thriving as you may be.
Oh, so you're new to the area. That's great. Where do you live?
Well, we're still looking for a place, but we might be renting an apartment in Bellevue.
Oh, forget about renting. You should buy a home, preferably with a water view. Or you could always get a second place on one of the islands in Puget Sound. We have a lot of members who have two homes.
Well, that sounds really great. You know, maybe someday. Things around here are kind of pricey.
That visitor declares that maybe someday she will buy a house on Mercer Island. Without a crystal ball, we have no way of knowing whether that will happen someday or not. But here's what we do know, that on this day, today, she showed up among us looking to make a connection. We either meet her and others like her warmly and with curiosity, eager to learn what makes them tick, or we don't. We either share our liberating, healthy message, or we don't. We either carry on the work of those who, over the last 70 plus years, bequeathed to us this beautiful campus and these beautiful traditions, or we don't. Now let us do our best to pass this all forward, to pass it on. We can be, and we must be, the antidotes to the Seattle freeze. But only if we make it our business, our sworn task, will we be successful. Let us so resolve, beginning now.